Welcome to Rhode Island Avenue Radio, where we'll talk about news, education, and opportunities for small businesses on the Rhode Island Avenue Main Street and in Washington, D.C. I'm Michelle Yancey.
And I'm Kyle Todd. Welcome to Rhode Island Avenue Radio.
Good morning, and welcome back to Rhode Island Avenue Radio. And welcome back, Michelle.
Thank you. It's good to be back. It seems like it's been...
Forever.
It seems like it's been since the fall.
Right after Fall Fest. Because then we did the Thanksgiving break and other unexpected breaks. But here we are.
We are back.
Yeehaw. Well, it's very good to see you across the table again. It's
good to see you too.
Way too long. Let's get started. We've got some great guests to talk to today. But first, as always, we want to thank our sponsors, the Department of Small Business. Wow.
See, it's been so long.
I can't even say that. Yeah. The Department of Small and Local Business Development and the Department of Housing and Community Development. It is their grants to us that help us produce this show and provide services to the Rhode Island Avenue Main Street businesses. You know, January is almost here, which means budget season is almost here.
Fun, exciting times.
Which means budget hearings and oversight hearings. And we always like to take this opportunity to remind our listeners, if you live here in the D.C. area or you are a business owner in the D.C. area, D.C., Washington, D.C. proper, you are always encouraged to go to those public hearings. There's always themes, and you can visit dccouncil.us for all of the hearing dates. If you've got an agency that you want to give kudos to or suggestions for improvement to, this is the budget oversight hearing is the time to do it. And every resident and business owner in the area has the right and is encouraged to do so. And as we look forward to the beginning of the budget season, that also means that we'll be looking for funding for our continued growth through DSLBD and DHCD. And if you are supportive of the work that we do here on Rhode Island Avenue Main Street and throughout the District of Columbia, we encourage you to let the council members know, either in writing or call their office, or even better, show up at the budget oversight hearings and let them know you like the work we're doing so that we can continue to get funded for the work we're doing. This will not be the last time I mention this until the budget is set for FY20 in June. So I just apologize in advance to everyone. Just promise me you're going to go out and do those hearings and I'll stop talking about it. On a happier or more upbeat community note, on December 15th is the Procrastinators Holiday Market from noon to 6. That will once again be in the 1300 block of Rhode Island Avenue, that big painted parking lot near Brookland Manor and the future RIA development. So be sure and join us on Saturday, December 15th from noon to 6 p.m. Santa will be there from 1 to 4. We will have Made in D.C. Businesses all throughout the shopping resources. We're also going to have some really tasty beverages from Republic Restorative and Zeke's Coffee. And
you can mix them together, maybe.
You think?
For a tasty treat.
Right Proper Brewery and DC Brow will also be there selling and tasting and encourage you to come out. We're going to do things a little bit differently this year. We're going to have it's going to be more of an outdoor holiday market, but we're going to have lots of those great patio heaters scattered around. So be sure and plan on joining us for your last-minute holiday shopping at the Procrastinators Holiday Market on Saturday, December 15th, from noon to 6.
So, Kyle, where is that going to be located this year?
The big parking lot that's painted is where we had it last year.
Ah, okay.
I believe the official address is 1330 Rhode Island Avenue northeast.
Okay. So close to the firehouse.
Yep.
Across the street.
Across the street from the firehouse. Okay. Yep. And we're actually working with the property owner of that big empty lot at 13th and Rhode Island Avenue for parking over there for anybody that is coming in from outside the area. But oh my gosh, it's an easy walk from the metro station. All the buses go down there, and certainly an easy walk from just anywhere in our neighborhood.
Definitely.
It'll be good to get out of the house and do some last-minute holiday shopping, stocking stuffer stuff. I can tell you that the always favorite Bailiwick designs will be there. They're the ones that do the 202 hats and I know hoodies and sweatshirts and t-shirts and all that. So bring your shopping plans and join us.
Sounds
December 15th, 12 to 6.
Very good.
All right. Well, let's welcome today's guest. This is a return visit from our folks at DC Water. We are joined today by Bill Levy and Hadia Jordan of DC Water. Welcome, folks.
Hey. Thanks, Kyle. It's great to be here.
Good morning.
Good morning. So we've got you in here because we want some updates. You guys have been doing a great job of doing Northeast Boundary Tunnel forums to get the word out. But there has, since the last time you were in here, a lot has popped up at 4th Street and Rhode Island Avenue. And by up, I mean up. Things are big down there.
Well, it's always been a monumental project, the Clean Rivers projects, and if I could just take a moment to remind your listeners, where we're at so far. I mean, it's pretty amazing. We, in March of this year, we completed the lower half of this Anacostia CSO system, which goes from RFK Stadium down to the Blue Plains treatment plant, and since it's been built, you guys are aware of the amount of rain that D.C. has had now. Mm. Typically, when it rains, these combined sewers overflow into the Anacostia and cause pollution and floatables and things like that. I mean, to date, since the tunnel's been put in operation in March, there's been almost 35 inches of rain. The tunnels captured over 4 billion gallons of CSO that would have gone into the Anacostia. And all the floatables that used to go, the floatables we're talking about, water bottles and wrappers and all the stuff that goes down a storm drain that, would be floating around the Anacostia, we have to have 18-wheelers down at the plant to take away these floatables. And folks like the rowing club and the people who use the river regularly have reported back to us that it's really much improved.
Okay.
So we're capturing at this point 88% of what used to go to the Anacostia. And the project you're talking about, the Northeast Boundary Tunnel that we want to talk about today, is the last piece of the Anacostia system. It goes north from RFK Stadium. And when that's in place, we'll be capturing 98% of the CSO flow that was polluting the Anacostia. Not to mention, our alignment is specifically set up to intercept probably 6 or 7 chronic flood areas in the northeast part of the district.
Yeah.
So, folks on Rhode Island Avenue in your area, Kyle, those signs that say, "When flashing, road is flooded."
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully,
we're a little familiar with those signs.
Yeah, so that's not that we don't want that. Nobody wants that. And you've had some of those rains have a real sore spot is right underneath that the Rhode Island Avenue Metro.
Yeah.
This project is meant to significantly relieve that problem.
Well, I mean, it's already worked in Bloomingdale. Michelle, you remember, all those houses getting flooded in Bloomingdale.
Every time it rained.
So, I mean, it's a feel-good project. It's a great environmental project. And I know from other projects like this I've worked on that this is the kind of project that the results of it last for generations, you know.
So how are you all addressing the newcomers into the neighborhood? Because, I mean, we're getting a ton of new businesses and a ton of new people, and for the utilities to be able to keep up with that.
Okay, well, you know, when we design the size of these facilities, they take growth into account. And, you know, they are able to, you know, just like any planning exercise, you know, they're able to look at what the maximum build out would be. And that gets factored into the design. I mean, the fact that, you know, we projected we would be able to capture in this first opening of the tunnel that happened in March, we thought we'd be around 85%. And we're actually doing a little better than that at 80%, 88%. So, you know, that gives us some confidence that we have the right sizes and the right numbers in our design, in our modeling of you know, the development of DC.
So can you talk a little bit about the machinery that's out there now? It's kind of hard to imagine what you're about to describe, but anybody that lives in the neighborhood has driven by and seen this.
It's fascinating stuff. It's
and we're talking about the stuff at 4th and Rhode Island Avenue right now.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, what we're doing is that, and this is on all of our Clean Rivers projects, is, you know, the surface work, like at 4th and Rhode Island, and eventually at Rhode Island Avenue by the metro station, we're trying to intercept these combined sewers that just don't have the capacity. They were built, you know, way back in the late 1800s, where, you know, everything north of Florida Avenue was grassy and rural. So, of course, DC's changed a lot since then. So all of
our... And it continues to change.
Yes. A lot of impervious surface was built north of Florida. And the way these projects are set up is we have to intercept the sewers, you know, where they exist, and build what's called diversion structures, which, you know, simply weirs set up, you know, we cut into the pipe, and when the level of the pipe gets high enough, you know, a significant enough storm happens, it spills into the diversion structure, and we have diversion sewers that take it to a deep shaft that drops the flow down 100 feet. And then there's a small tunnel called an adit that connects it with the main northeast boundary tunnel. So that's what we're doing right now. There's about 11 sites that we have to do things at the surface. There's 5 on Rhode Island Avenue. 2 of them are in your purview. You know, so we're building the drop shaft at 4th Street. That's, again, 100-foot deep shaft that we build with what's called a slurry wall technique, which is kind of a state-of-the-art technique for supporting the excavation. So we're doing that. At Rhode Island Avenue, we're first mobilizing. We actually purchased a tire shop there, if you remember the M&M tire shop.
Mm-hmm.
Because there just wasn't any room to build there. You know, WMATA has a very important traction power station there that they just didn't want us near. So we bought the tire shop, and we're getting permission to knock down the structure, and then, you know, you have to get a permit for that, and then we'll start building a shaft over there. And, you know, these are multi-year, you know, to get all those components I'm talking about takes years to do. It's a big project. It's probably why it hasn't been done before now.
Yeah.
That's that huge.
And this is a 3.5-year project, is
yeah,
that right?
Yeah, well, yeah. Well, we got to be done by 2025, according to...
So it's even longer.
This is a consent decree project. You know, we gave ourselves a little, you know, some flow. We were hoping we're not constructing all the way out there, but... that's what the court papers say, is that by the end of 2025 we are done.
Well, the impact as far as traffic flow and pedestrian and bus access, the mitigation efforts that you guys have coordinated with DDOT and WMATA have been nothing short of epic.
Yeah.
And I know that you spent a lot of time in negotiations, both before construction and in an ongoing situation. And part of the Boundary Tunnel Forum update last night was addressing some of the new traffic mitigation challenges. And yep. Can you and Hadia talk a little bit about some of the significant impacts of just, you know, for those listeners that aren't here in the neighborhood and don't see it every day, just very briefly talk about, the fact that, you know, 4th Street is now a one-way, mm-hmm. has a one-way segment for a couple of blocks, one lane, one-way segment, and you worked really hard with DDOT to get some rerouting through the surrounding neighborhood, but you've also gone the extra mile to make sure construction trucks aren't going in there, and there's a school in there you had to take into consideration as far as navigating that for safe pickups for the kids. You want to talk about that a little bit?
I'll give a little background, then I'll let Hadia fill in some of the specifics that's going on. But, you know, when we were looking at the traffic in 4th Street, we actually had the traffic heading north initially, because we thought that was what the fire station wanted. The big concern on 4th Street was there's a fire station across the street, and they have to have access to head north. And, you know, we talked with them, and it turned out they didn't like the space that was provided on 4th Street and having to go past our construction. So that's why we made the next street over one way, so that they could better head north. And then 4th Street is just southerly traffic only.
So that's 3rd Street.
Yeah, but I mean, you're right. The amount of coordination with all the agencies. There's an example of, you know, we do extensive coordination with the fire and EMS folks to make sure that there are clear ways on a construction site so they have access to the surrounding structures in case of a fire and an emergency, and, of course, that they're able to get their ambulances up north to hospitals and things like that. And then, of course, you know, IDEA, you know, we spent years literally working with DDOT. We actually have milestone durations and staging area limits all laid out ahead of time to help our contractor get maintenance of traffic permits. But of course, you know, no maintenance of traffic plan is perfect, and that's why HIDEA is constantly in touch with the residents so that they could tell us how we're doing, how things are working, and if we need to make a modification, we do.
So just to begin, I think I would like to talk about how people can find out about the project.
Excellent.
We have a webpage specifically for the Northeast Boundary Tunnel. You can find it by going to dcwater.com/NEBT. That's NEBT for Northeast Boundary Tunnel. And we have a 800 number that is 24/7, where if people have questions or comments or if they want to get an update, they can call this number, 800-988-6151. 800-988-6151, where we keep that line up to date in, and we will follow through if they leave a question for us. We also have an email that people can reach us, and that is dccleanrivers@dcwater.com. So those are the different ways that people can reach out to us. But because this is such a significant project, we have outreach to accommodate that as well. And when we have updates that we need to share with people to talk about the different impacts, such as traffic changes or bus reroutes, or that we are going to do some work that might, you know, that people might find obstructive in some sort of way as they navigate the areas. We distribute newsletters to our database, and we go door to door, speaking to businesses and residents that are right adjacent to our construction sites. So as we were saying before, in your area, we have two construction sites. That's the 4th Street construction site, which is located at 4th Street Northeast and Rhode Island Avenue. And we also have the Rhode Island Avenue construction site, which we are just preparing right now, as Bill was talking about, by raising the tire shop that is located there. And that's at Rhode Island and 8th Place Northeast. So those are just the two main areas that we are doing right now on Rhode Island Avenue.
And in addition, you mentioned doing outreach to the businesses, and so now maybe a good time to talk about the fact that you're really putting it out there for the businesses too, because, you know, quite frankly, businesses, anytime there's construction, certainly of any significant magnitude, and this is a significant magnitude, businesses feel the impact. But DC Water is, I think, really, really setting the bar high for some great infrastructure improvement, business mitigation, business impact mitigation strategies. Mm-hmm. And when you guys came to me, what was it? When we first started talking about three years ago.
We were picking your brain back then, and we always had a placeholder. We knew. Well, let's go back a step. You know, when we did First Street Tunnel in a densely residential neighborhood like Bloomingdale, we knew we had to up our game on community mitigation, and we did, you know, and the Tunnel Forums idea was talking about, and you were talking about, we had one last night. That was an outgrowth of something that worked really well in Bloomingdale, where, you know, usually DC Water, you know, gets 5 or 10 minutes if we're lucky at an ANC or a civic association meeting. And, you know, what we found was people wanted, especially in Bloomingdale, where we were right next to their houses, they wanted more information than just a 5 or 10 minute update. And the Tunnel Forum is a really great venue. It's worked really well. It worked really well in Bloomingdale. We hope we'll get the same kind of result on Northeast Boundary Tunnel, because, you know, we basically collaborate with the neighborhood. We put really millions of dollars of mitigation into these contracts, you know, and Hydea already mentioned a couple, the 24-hour hotline. We have a noise and vibration specialist on full-time to address any, you know, keep monitoring noise, make sure it's within the statutory limits. And it goes on and on and on like that. And the traffic you mentioned, Kyle. So the Tunnel Forum is a great place for the neighborhood to tell us how we're doing, basically, is what we found in Bloomingdale. And Hydea, the whole first part of the Tunnel Forum last night was telling folks, these are the concerns you asked us to look into last time we met with you, and this is what we're doing about it. And most of them were traffic related, like difficult left turns, and could you put a speed bump? And We don't own the roads. DDOT owns the roads, but we go to them on the neighborhood's behalf and see what we could do, you know. And that's what we think is good about it. So to getting back to the business, we knew this project was different in a couple of ways from First Street Tunnel, in that we had issues. We're going to have much more concerns about traffic, which we talked about. And then we also said this project's different in that Rhode Island Avenue is a major corridor for business here in the district. And is there anything we could do to help these businesses during, you know, these are major projects. Kyle, you were out there with us the other day, and, you know, the equipment that's out there is large, it's noisy, and it's going to be there for a few years. So, you know, to DC Water's credit, funding was put into the contract, a placeholder. We didn't know what we wanted to do. We did a fair amount of research of other projects. I mentioned this at the Tunnel Forum last night. We tried to benchmark what other agencies do and see if there was some way we could mirror that or take note of that. And one of the things we saw was very few of the agencies did any kind of business mitigation on their own. They would partner. And when we started looking around for people we could partner with to get, you know, to help these businesses through, I all of a sudden realized my you know, Mr. Todd I've been talking with for years, it turns out there's actually Main Street organizations that cover all five of our Rhode Island Avenue construction sites. You have two of them. North Cap Main Street has two, and Shaw has one. We already have agreements with you and North Cap. And it's really additional funding and resources for you to do what you do best, which is, you know, work with the businesses in the way you always do, but with a little more help financially and a little more focus specifically on the businesses that are impacted, because DC Water, you know, wants these businesses to stay in business, and we want to do what's right.
Well, I can say on behalf of the businesses in the area, it's much appreciated because we know our base funding has to cover a very long stretch of Rhode Island Avenue, and we don't always get to support every business in the way we would like to. So having these extra grant dollars available to provide to small businesses the additional technical support and promotional support that we can do will help them weather this. So we're very excited about this.
Yeah, we are too. We're very optimistic and think this is this is something that will catch on in the rest of the district on big projects similar to ours.
Well, we certainly like being leaders in the field.
So how big is this tunnel exactly? Where does it go from, and is it impacting other neighborhoods? I mean, obviously it is because it's impacting the Anacostia River, so it's impacting the whole city.
Yeah.
But just kind of to get an idea of...
Well, that's how come we have the largest public outreach effort, I think, that DC Water has ever attempted, where, you know, there's this... you know, DC Water staff and the contractor is also required by contract to bring public outreach folks, too, just because it's such a large, like you say, it's a large geographic area. It starts down by RFK Stadium. That's where we're putting in a tunnel boring machine that's going to dig. And it was named after our former construction director who just passed away, Chris. We always name the tunnel boring machines. So Chris is in the ground already. And heading north, it it's going to go 27,000 feet, over 27,000 feet. That's over 5 miles. It's going to end at R Street and Rhode Island Avenue. There's a little triangle park there.
Yes, downtown.
Yeah, R Street and Rhode Island Avenue, and that's where we'll take the machine out, and it's constructing a tunnel in soil that's 23 feet in diameter. It'll connect. That RFK is the beginning of the tunnel section I was telling you about before. That's already in service. We'll connect the two together. It also goes by our First Street Tunnel, which right now is operating with a pump station to serve Bloomingdale and prevent short-term flooding. When this tunnel is complete, we will connect the First Street Tunnel with the Northeast Boundary Tunnel and decommission the pump station, because the whole system is designed to flow by gravity. You know, the whole system will be over 13 miles, and it'll take flows from, you know, Bloomingdale and R Street up north all the way down to the plant at Blue Plains.
Wow.
And 100 feet below ground, is that?
It averages 100 feet below ground. You know, it could go as deep as 160, 180 feet.
That's amazing.
Because it's all gravity.
Do they have a video of this happen? I mean, I would love to see what this looked like. Is there a video?
Oh, yeah. So, I mentioned our website. If you're having trouble picturing anything I'm talking about, I kind of went a little technical about the components that are being built right now at 4th Street. But if you want to see a nice cartoon visualization of that, please go to our Northeast Boundary Project website at dcwater.com, and you'll get a much better picture. I think we have some videos on there. DC Water has a pretty good social media presence idea, don't we?
They do, and you can even go to YouTube and see some videos. DC Water has a presence on YouTube, and they have videos about the tunnel, the different mm-hmm. tunnels that we've already constructed. But as Bill had mentioned, that so for a 5-mile long tunnel, he mentioned 11 construction sites altogether, but the majority of them are on that alignment and where we are building the diversion facility. So those locations are Mount Olivet Road, Northeast, where we've already begun construction at the Department of Public Works lot. Then we have another site, W Street Northeast, which is, again, at another DPW site. We have then coming up the alignment, you get to Rhode Island Avenue in 8th Place, and then 4th Street Northeast. And then on the other half of the alignment, you reach 1st Street, where we will connect with the 1st Street Tunnel, and then the
T Street's kind of unusual. That's strictly a drainage shaft. We're not actually intercepting a sewer there, because I know folks in Bloomingdale, they have that spot on Rhode Island Avenue they call Lake Bloomingdale.
Yes.
And that T Street site is actually set up strictly to drain Lake Bloomingdale.
And then we go down to Florida and 3rd. And the final place is R Street, R and 6th at Rhode Island Avenue.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And the tunnel that's being built by Chris,
mm-hmm. yeah.
how tall is that tunnel?
Well, it's 23 foot diameter, so it's a good sized tunnel. It's probably, you know, a little bit bigger or similar to transit sized tunnels, you know. It's a monumental undertaking, and folks probably don't realize, and you can see this on our videos and on our website. When you build it in soft ground, as we call it, you know, it's a soil tunnel, not a rock tunnel. So the soil has to be continuously supported as the machine moves forward. So it sort of moves forward like an inchworm in 6 feet at a time, where it's erecting in segments. There's a ring, a concrete ring that is built in the tunnel machine, and there's a bunch of jacks that push off of that finished ring and move and pulls the tunnel and about 350 feet of trailing gear behind it. It's sort of like a ocean liner's worth of equipment, you know, to power this thing and do what it does. But as it is excavating soil on the front face, it's pushing off of those segments, and then the jacks retract and they build another segment. So we build the tunnel basically 6 feet at a time, and those segmental rings are the permanent structure.
So is somebody in there driving it?
Yeah.
Really?
There's a whole crew in there, you know, of folks.
So how do, and this, you know, I can't even fathom how this doesn't collapse. I mean, what are they doing to mitigate?
Yeah, well, you know,
the concrete ring.
Yeah. Well, okay. So there's a concrete ring coming right behind.
Yeah,
it.
That's what's holding it open as we go forward. When the other big concern is the front end of the machine, the cutter head is moving very slowly, and What we've used consistently on the Clean Rivers project is a state-of-the-art tunnel boring machine that's this type is called a earth pressure balance machine, because what we're doing is it goes into kind of a plenum in the front of the machine, gets mixed with additives to give it the consistency of like a very thick toothpaste. And we're constantly monitoring it's an earth pressure balance machine because we're trying to balance the overburden pressure so that there's no movement at the ground surface, which is very important for utilities and structures adjacent to the tunnel. Knock on wood, DC Water, the Clean Rivers Project has been very successful. There's already over 8 miles of tunnel in place successfully with hardly any surficial movement. And that gives all of our partners, we go under WMATA tracks and gas mains and DC Water's own lifeline facilities, sewers that serve the whole district. And, obviously the main intent is always to make sure that none of these have any movement associated with it.
Well, you were talking about what would it be like to see that.
Mm-hmm.
We are scheduling in the future, and we can come back and talk about it, 3 community days where at different locations on the alignment, we will allow the public to take a peek inside the tunnel.
Wow.
To see what it's like.
Yes.
Interesting.
Sign us up.
But at the moment, if you could think of it, it's just similar to being on the metro. Mm-hmm. And you look out the window and you're under the tunnel. Mm-hmm. Those rings that he's talking about is that cement that you see that's lining the tunnel when you're going through riding the metro.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we did a community day in Bloomingdale for the First Street Tunnel. It was very successful, and everybody went on it. It was a real eye opener.
Yeah, so you are on the construction site, and you will be given what we call PPE, and that is your personal protective equipment. So you'll get a heart hat to wear and the vest and your heart tip boots. So you could walk inside safely. So it's your personal experience on the construction site, but it's also your firsthand visual of the tunnel, because once it's in operation, you will not want to go inside.
Certainly
then.
Not. Right. So the purpose of this project, just to understand, and maybe I don't understand all of it, is to mitigate the flooding and the trash overflow in the Anacostia?
Yeah, we're under a consent decree with the federal court. DC Water for years was in violation of the Clean Water Act. Mm-hmm. And it's not just DC. All the major cities along the Northeast, the older urban cores, back in the late 1800s, having stormwater and sanitary flow from your house and your drains going to the same type was the state of the art. And it worked for years and years very well when the population was low and there wasn't a lot of impervious surface driving more and more runoff into storm sewers. And, what happened over time, and this is all on our website, too, this is an ongoing problem, and big cities like Boston and Rochester, New York, are under similar, have been under similar consent decrees, and are doing similar, big projects like this, and a lot of them have tunnel backbones like this program. So it's these are monumental type projects, but the EPA and environmental agencies are enforcing the Clean Water Act, and agencies like DC Water have to step up and bring the resources to comply.
So the next Northeast Boundary Tunnel Forum will be in February. Is that
Yes, for the 4th and Rhode Island Avenue locations,
right.
The first week of February.
And have you started having those similar meetings for further up the road? And
no, because we are about to initiate construction there. We're about to start the tunnel forums for the other sites coming up and kickoff meeting to inform people, that give them an update of the schedule for that half of the alignment. So letting them know that in January we will begin construction for the First Street Tunnel. We'll start there. And then after that, we are at Florida Avenue.
Yeah, I think it might be reversed. I think we're going to start at Florida, and then we'll start dealing with our work over at First Street and T. So,
I guess this is from a communication standpoint, job security until 2025. so yay on that. I continue to be. My mind continues to be boggled at all of the moving parts that you're having to keep track of, literally and figuratively. Yeah.
But I mean, we want to thank all of the ratepayers and the people who are impacted by the project. These projects don't work really unless it's a collaboration between the agency and the people that we serve. In any large public works projects, there's some short term inconvenience and noise and vibration and obstructions that you live through. But the hope is that it's worth it, because I used to tell folks that let me build this and then you won't see me for another 100 years, because these are designed to last 100 years. So the idea, it's a short-term inconvenience to get a long-term gain.
Yep.
And I think that, your grandkids will appreciate it, as well.
Well, and it's, as you pointed out earlier, it's so overdue for the area. The system as it was is just woefully inadequate for the...
Yeah.
For even a regular city's growth, but we, all know D.C.'s growth has just been...
Yeah.
Way above the national average. Yeah,
and they're beautiful resources. The Potomac and the Anacostia are used by, thousands and thousands of residents and visitors to the area. And, why shouldn't they have the best quality water that they deserve? That.
And, for listeners, if you are a resident of the neighborhood, please don't hesitate to take part in the Boundary Tunnel forums. This is your opportunity for not only to learn about what's coming and next steps, et cetera, but also to give feedback. And please support those businesses there at 4th and Rhode Island Avenue, all the way up to 8th Place and, all of Rhode Island Avenue. But you know what I mean. Those businesses are struggling to survive this. I know that some parking places have been taken away and lane changes are a challenge for everybody. We're hard enough to stay in our own lane as it is, but DC Water has done a great job of working with the folks at Foreman Mills to allow some short-term parking there for you to patronize the businesses still. And there's some fantastic resources. I don't know how many of you know this, but BP is not just a gas station. There's a a mechanic on duty. So when you need your oil change, when you need a tune up, those kinds of things, that's your go-to guy. He's here in the neighborhood, and make use of that. We're going to be helping them set up an online scheduling system for those repairs, so you can go in and sign up for an appointment. Huacate has got amazing food, and they are on Grubhub. If you don't want to drive down there and park, be sure and use Uber Eats and Grubhub to get your food delivered. Studio Alon and Mint Dental, all those places over there are open for business and ready and waiting to serve you. Let's not forget, it's almost the holidays, and come on, gift certificates, stocking stuffers, support your locally owned businesses, and get out there and help them get through this situation too. for this and every other situation where we say shop local, it's because for every dollar that you spend with a locally owned business, something like 60, 70 cents stays in the community, as opposed to big box store national chains where only about 30 cents of your dollar stays in the community. So these are people that own businesses here and live here in the neighborhood. So get out there and support them. And if you are a business owner in the affected area, you know how to find me because I'm out there all the time. And our office number is 202-808-9050. You can reach me at kyle@riamainstreet.org. And we are literally waiting around for you to call us. And we're going to be offering all sorts of
Incentives,
technical assistance, storefront improvements, new signs, new lights, new paint, whatever we need to do to help your business stand out. Give me a call or shoot me an email and let us know how we can help you. There are no cookie-cutter businesses on Rhode Island Avenue, so there are no cookie-cutter approaches to how we help you. Let's have a conversation and see how we can best help your business thrive and not even know that there's construction going on. We're gonna help so much. So give me a call, 202-808-9050.
Thank you, Kyle.
Thank you.
Thank you. This has been very informative. And so if our listeners want to find out more about this project, can you give them that web address again?
Sure. It's dcwater.com/NEBT, and you can reach us at our 24/7 hotline at 800-988-6151, and you can email us at dccleanrivers@dcwater.com.
Very good. You know, it's not too shabby to have a 24-hour place that you can call and actually get a live human being, so that's something to say.
Well, thank you both, Bill Levy and Hadia Jordan from DC Water, for being here with us today. Let's do this on a regular basis for updates as long as you guys are on the corridor,
right?
Most
definitely.
And maybe even after you leave the corridor, just because we like you. All right.
It's been a pleasure, Kyle. Appreciate this opportunity.
Thank you.
Well, that's going to wrap us up today. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. We'll be back next episode
with more exciting guests
and news. Talk to you soon. Bye.